Yeah, that's really true. We had a situation out here in San Francisco where the SPCA has its yearly animal wing ding. And last year, I know when my husband and I went, they had all meat. Everybody there was eating meat from these meat vendors. I complained about it. I got trashed for complaining about it. This year, someone on one of my mailing lists on the internet said, hey, did everybody realize that they're serving meat at the wing ding? And I wrote a long letter back. Well, the upshot of it was there was so much pressure to bear, I found out later that they didn't serve any meat at the wing ding this year.
Well, I'm so glad that you complained. That is my point, too, about being a squeaky wheel. Is don't wait for someone else to say something. Always speak up, and you will find support. It's so important that you use your voice, that you use your letter-writing ability, even if it's two sentences, and that you make it known how you feel. I just came back from Taiwan about 2 months ago, and of course there are dog slaughterhouses there. Korea, dog slaughterhouses. The Philippines, dog slaughterhouses. And it is extremely hard to talk to people in those countries about what is wrong with taking these wonderful, loving, so frightened animals and stringing them up by the neck. When we eat all these other wonderful, innocent, frightened animals, and if anyone thinks that a Taiwanese slaughterhouse or a Korean slaughterhouse for dogs is a worse place than some of the slaughterhouses in the United States, dream on, because it isn't true. You see these cows, these pigs, these chickens. I'm very fond of chickens. I think they're wonderful little birds. They're very misunderstood, but they have marvelous personalities. And here they are, Americans in this country, we eat 1 million chickens an hour. 1 hour. It's almost hot. Each one is an individual, and they scream when they go to the knife. They do not want to go. They're hung upside down, and they are frightened. And when they reach the knife, it is not pleasant. So we can't criticize these cultural differences as long. I remember, too, some years ago, it's been some years now, talking to a physician in California who told me why he and his wife became vegetarian. And it was because they were driving along the freeway and they were listening to a morning radio show that was talking about passing a piece of legislation because people were worried that Vietnamese people were eating dogs. And it just struck him immediately that there was something wrong with us saying this particular animal is off limits. And he thought, well, why is it all right for me to eat cows and chickens, lambs? Look how wonderful they are. Full of life and fun, and to tell the Vietnamese they can't eat dogs. And he and his wife became vegetarians at that moment. So I do think we need to not throw up our hands and say, well, you know, you can't criticize that as long as I'm doing this, but think, why am I doing this and couldn't I do better? There certainly is no excuse in this day and age. You think of early vegetarians who really had to make an effort. But today, you can have any taste you want. You can have ice cream, cheese, all sorts of, you know, bacony products, anything you want, fake chicken, all made out of soy. And if you want that taste, people say, well, why would you go to such trouble to get that taste? If you like that taste, what's the harm in still having the taste? What you don't want is the cruelty. And if it's made from a meat substitute, seitan or tofu or whatever it is, the animals are not suffering, you're healthier, there's no cholesterol in it, go for it. But Jackie, one thing, if I can make a pitch, if people will look at Liberation Radio's website or look at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals website, it's www.peter-online, which is one word, .org, and we have information. We do want people to please help us petition the Taiwanese government to pass the very first anti-cruelty law in that country. There is no anti-cruelty law at all. And I just came back from standing in some of the dog pounds where surplus dogs, so-called surplus dogs, are rounded up off the street and drowned. And they scramble and they struggle and they do not want to go into that cold water. And others are simply poisoned. And others are burned to death in their cages. So we do need
the people of Taiwan to have our support. There are wonderful, compassionate people in Taiwan looking to the rest of the world to help them convince the government to pass this first animal cruelty legislation. And so we need people's signatures, we need people's letters, and the addresses for the Taiwanese government are on those websites.
Right, that is really a great thing. I know Asians for Humans, Animals, and Nature here in San Francisco coordinated demonstration with PETA and IDA here, and I understand it was all over the country and all over the world on the issue of the Taiwanese dogs. What really amazes me is that the legislature in Taiwan adjourned without taking any action on that. Does that say anything to you about their sincerity?
Says to me we have to work harder, because yes, there is no question that the Taiwanese government was concerned that there was this outside interest in the cruelty to strays. You know, some of these strays have acid poured on their backs and you see these terrible sores. They are thought of as trash. And so the government is just beginning to see that there is outside interest in what is allowed within the country to be done to these dogs. We need to push harder. The legislature in Taiwan comes back into session very, very briefly in September. And by that time, anyone who knows businesses who are in Taiwan or who do business in Taiwan, have Taiwanese connections, and all of us as citizens of the world need to get our comments in, begging the Taiwanese government, please, not to have the treatment of dogs remain a black spot on the country. It's a beautiful country. There are wonderful cultural things there. This is not something the rest of the world would hope continues.
Well, it's really interesting in that they're treated like trash, and it brings to my mind the whole issue of the treatment of women around the world, and that often we too are treated like trash. And it seems to me also that it's no accident that 80% of the animal rights movement is actually comprised of women. And I'm wondering what your comment is on that. Do you think that the animal rights movement is effectively an extension of the women's movement?
It certainly is, in part, because I always think if you just understand exploitation from a personal perspective, you don't get very far. It's sort of like being a conscientious objector because you wanted to save yourself. That's understandable, but it would be far better to understand it in a bigger context, the context of nonviolence. The same with you are for women's rights, hopefully because you understand the concept, not just because you're a woman. But given that you may come to understand it because of discrimination against that you've experienced yourself, or because you relate to other women easily, then we need to extend it as a principle that we are against discrimination, we're against cruelty, we're against victimization, and so it shouldn't really matter what the gender, race, species of the victim is. We're against victimization. We should try not to learn these lessons one at a time. The things that happened to prisoners of war were wrong. The things that have happened to orphan children in experiments were wrong. The things, the Tuskegee experiments on blacks in the South in the 40s were wrong. But you could change one set of victims for another and they would still be wrong. And so we have to really get beyond that. But it's true. I mean, women, by and large, have grown up not being ashamed of being nurturing or of being caring or of even being maternal, if you like. And so the stigma hasn't attached to women of having to look all steely and cold and objective that men have had to carry with them. And that, of course, is all changing.
You always hear PETA, on the other hand, being referred to as sympathizing with terrorists and connected to the Animal Liberation Front. Can you tell us PETA's position on the ALF?
Of course, there used to be a very different ALF than there is today. I think the old ALF, which really was a group of people who knew each other and who very carefully plotted to and did their homework to expose a certain experiment, for example, and to rescue animals and to make those facts known, are very different from today. When you hear the words ALF, it's usually, I believe, idealistic young people who are picking up the term Animal Liberation Front and attaching it to anything they do that could
affect the insurance of the businesses that exploit animals, in fact, even burn them down without loss of life or any injury to human or animal, of course. Anything they do, whether it's throw a rock through a butcher's shop window or a fur, glue some locks together, whatever it is, I think it's very different. But to me, I could never condemn any of it. It's not what I believe that most people would do or should do. But in a society where these young people see grave injustice, they get very impatient, they want to do something, they can't understand why the rest of us aren't getting up and racing down there and breaking down the doors, and they've decided to do their part.
Well, that's wonderful, and I want to thank you very much, Ingrid Newkirk, author of 250 Things You Can Do to Make Your Cat Adore You, and also co-founder of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Thanks very much. Did you have any further closing comments?
Other than buy my book, no. Well, actually, yes. I can't resist saying, please don't be depressed about all the horrible things that happen to animals. Turn that worry into action, because there are so many things you can do in your daily lives that really, really, really make an enormous difference. And please learn about them through the websites or by writing to People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Anything we can do to help you cook vegetarian meals, have alternatives to dissection, get cruelty-free clothing, anything at all. Choose charities for your donations that do not test on animals. Anything we can do to help you, please allow us so that we can all be in this together.
And could you give the URL for your website again, please?
It's www.peta, which is People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA-online, which is one word, .org.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Ingrid Newkirk, for being on the program.
Thanks, Jackie.
This has been an interview with Ingrid Newkirk, founder of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. This show is part of Unheard Cries, produced for San Francisco Liberation Radio. I'm Jackie Dove. Thanks for listening.